You know it's going to be a good day when someone says, I don't know where John is, I can't see him. All that exercise I'm doing is working out. I don't know if you guys got that text today, but today is Give a Hug to Your Song Leader Day. I got that text in this morning. So before you leave, Danny, give Danny a hug. Give your song leader a hug day. Acts chapter 17. I've been in Mexico for 22 years, celebrated our 24th anniversary this month, married. So it's been a good fun ride. We also have I know they're saying some visitors. Well, we got Elizabeth here from New York from Mike Veach's church. She's here, I guess, this week, right? Right, sister? You're here this week? Next week? Are you just going to move here? Okay, all right. Well, that's good. Acts chapter 17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day that you've allowed us to have in this mission conference week, Lord, that we give, Lord, this week to you. We want you to speak to us. We want you to fill our minds and our hearts and remind us, Lord, not only that we're in a good work, Lord, but that this is what you want. This is your will. You want more people to hear. You want the church to get revived. You want the church to get refocused, if that's the right word, Father, to remember not only what you've done in time past, Lord, but what you're going to do and what you're doing. Lord, we want to thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have here in Acts chapter 17. I just want to read a verse to you, and then take off from there. But you know, before the mission conference, I was, you know, going through the book of Acts and, you know, reading and trying to get some thought. I like going through there, you know, during this time, you know, going through the missionary travels of Paul, and you know, trying to get back to what it's all about. And it really is an interesting verse here, and really is crazy. And the thought came to my mind in 17:6. It says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You know, that verse in this whole chapter, I've always read, I thought, you know, it's just an amazing thing how God used the apostles and used these men to turn the world upside down. I've always thought, you know, of course, these guys, it's a huge group. It's a huge, you know, huge, you know, big men, you know, doing God's work and God speaking through them. It really is an amazing work that they started, through the help of Christ. But I don't know if you've ever considered it. It was only two guys right there in this chapter. You know, in chapter 16, they're sitting in prison, right? They're sitting in prison because they preached the gospel and they got in trouble and they're sitting in prison. And we know the story, Acts 16, right? The jailer, he gets saved, right? Once they leave the city, there's a small group there. There's a small group, the jailer and his family and Lydia and her household. And so there is a church there. There's people gathering in Jesus' name there when they leave. But they go to the next city, right? They had in mind going to Thessalonica. They're going to get to this place, right? They're going to go there. Just two guys. You know how long they were there? 3 weeks. 3 weeks in this place, about 100 miles away from where they were in jail. And their reputation was, these men have turned the world upside down.
Amen.
I couldn't get away from that thought. How is that possible? How is that possible that two guys had that reputation of turning the world upside down? What did they do? I mean, did they bring in a crusade? Right? I mean, you know, I know sometimes we don't hear too much about the crusades, the Billy Graham crusades and all these huge crusades that, you know, have gone on in the past. And big numbers, and there's just, you know, a big old hoopla and a bunch of people come out. These are just two guys. Two guys show up and they go to a synagogue and they start reasoning from the scriptures to these guys. And their words were so powerful. Their understanding of the scripture was so on target, right? And we do know it wasn't their words, it was God speaking through them, right? Because if you and I are going to go out into a lost world and witness to anybody, if we do it on our own strength, it's pointless, right? I can't convince anybody with my words. But you know what? My job, our job is so much easier when we understand that it's God speaking, that it's God's word is going to bless. It's God's word that's going out. It's God's word that's going to break the heart of people. That's what happened to me. God found me. I didn't find God. You know? Sometimes we get that backwards sometimes, right? Oh, when I found God, you weren't looking.
Amen.
You were not looking. You were busy doing whatever. You know, you had plans, just like we heard Noah said. He had plans to go to Leon, you know, be prosperous, get married. He said his plans changed, but he is prosperous. And he is married. He has a good family. Just not quite the way he thought about it before. Let me tell you, God comes in on you. God does something incredible. I'm a product of the work here in San Antonio, right? Coming up from San Antonio, from Los Fresnos, from the valley to San Antonio, and someone talked to me about the gospel. You know, what the crazy thing about it was that I had no interest. I was not looking. I had no interest. And God had other plans. God changed my mind. God changed my heart from a person who did not have a Bible because I asked them not to bring a Bible to the meeting. God changed my heart and my life from a person who not only didn't bring a Bible, but I instructed him, I don't want to talk about God. And the minute you do talk about God, I'm going to leave. Obstacles? It's no obstacle. It's not a problem. You know what bothered me the most from that meeting? That he never talked to me about God. What about that? Isn't that crazy? We're there for over an hour just talking about just crazy things. And I couldn't get that out of my head. What is going, why isn't he talking to me about God? Well, because I asked him not to. Right? And then I brought up the subject. And he was really quick to tell me, okay, before I answer, you brought it up. Wow. We have somebody right here. We have two people right here. Paul and Silas, they're there. They turn the world upside down. My life was turned upside down. And, well, to the world maybe upside down. I think I'm right side up now. Right? A lot of us in here now are right side up.
Thank you, Lord.
But that's what God is doing. And he's always had, I think he still has people like that today. You know, it blesses my heart when I'm there in Puebla and I see another preacher downtown or somebody on the bus preaching the gospel or somebody just handing out a gospel tract. And they're not from our church. I do not know them. And I'm thinking, wow, look at that. You know, I mean, it's a good thing when we see other people doing exactly what God instructed everybody to do. We are all instructed to turn the world upside down or right side up. If you're looking at it from God's perspective, right? This is what your job is to do. And God has had people throughout the whole history doing this. I mean, you know, you go back to the old prophets. And God has sent them out. God sends them out. And he tells them, you tell this people this. Or you tell this king this. And they're speaking God's words. And they want to kill them. Because why? Because they have a bad attitude. Because they have a bad personality. Because they're insulting them. No. Because they're preaching and they're expressing God's word. You know, let me tell you, the gospel is offensive. Have you realized that? It's offensive. I don't have to get it to that point. And maybe a few of us need to stop being so offensive. Right? Because you don't have to. Sometimes you want to throw something out there to get a reaction. And I'm guilty of that. Sometimes when I'm not seeing anything on the street or anything downtown, sometimes I get a little dumb and say some dumb things the wrong way. You know? Like maybe calling the, you know, the virgin a doll to try to get, you know, people's reaction. Like they, you know, come after me, try to beat me up. You know, I don't have to do that. I really don't. Right? I mean, I'm out there to preach God's word. Right? I'm not out there to create obstacles. We got enough of those. Right? But let me tell you, if you and I preach God's word, if you and I stand on this book, if you and I preach exactly what God has given us as preaching this book, it is going to be offensive. We are going to be hitting sin. We are going to be telling people that they're wrong and God's right. And it's going to turn some heads. It's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to mess with people. But you know what? This is what God has called us to do. I mean, we have people, if you look in the Bible, you know, Elijah, when he goes out and he speaks to Ahab, what does Ahab do? He comes up and he says, you're the one that's messing with us, right? You're the one that's troubling Israel. You're the one. And Ahab says, no, it's not me. It's you. It's not me. You guys don't want to follow the commandments. You guys don't want to do, what God has called us to do. The problem you're having is not because of me. And you know what? That's exactly what it is. When I go out and preach, when we go out and tell somebody the gospel, their problem is not with you. It shouldn't be. Their problem is with God. And we need to be of a certain character that not only we understand that, but we're there to help them understand that even though God has a problem with them, God also has the answer. And the answer is the gospel. Even though it's offensive, the gospel is there to save. You know, when you look at these people, and there's so many of these guys in the Bible, it's incredible, but let's go back to Paul. When you look at these guys, they go out and they preach the word of God. They're preaching Christ. They're not letting their points or their words being directed at some type of insult or anything like that. They're just throwing it right across the plate. Look if you would in Acts 21. Let's just go to a couple places. These men that turn the world upside down, look what it says here. Acts 21 and verse 28. Here, they're preaching, they're reasoning with the people, they're talking about Christ, and look what these people say. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. And the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and have polluted his holy place. Look with me there in verse 30. It says, and all the city was moved, and the temple ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, for with the doors were shut. Go with me to chapter 22. Look what it says here in verse 22. It says, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And he's just preaching Christ. All he's doing is telling them that they need to get saved. All he's doing is saying, you know what? You're wrong. And these weren't ignorant people. These weren't people, you know, sitting out under a bridge or under a tree or just, you know, people who had no concept of God. These people were actually people who thought they understood God. And he shows up and he's preaching and he's teaching and they get so mad. Look, it's one thing if somebody starts throwing rocks at you. I can understand why you get mad, right? Or somebody throwing water at you. Right? I can understand why you're getting mad. But all they're doing is saying, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's all they're saying. Hey, God said this. Look, listen to what the Bible says. And they get upset. Look what else. Go with me to chapter 24. And it's all throughout this book. 24 verse 5. It says, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. I mean, this is just amazing. He is causing havoc all over the world, according to them. They didn't have, you know, airplanes back then. How in the world was he going to go all over the world? But you know what? His testimony, his zeal, his words were so powerful, and they cut right through the heart that these guys said he's causing problems. They're saying he's a pestilent fellow, right? I mean, I've been called lots of things, never that, right? But I mean, these guys were such a pain, right? Because all they were doing is preaching Christ. He said he was a ringleader, right? A ringleader. You know, people said that about us here at Oak Knoll, right? Well, you guys are like a sect over there, right? You guys are a little strange. You guys drink that Kool-Aid, you know, at certain meetings. No, you know what? What we do here should be normal. Amen. You know, and look, I tell you, it is normal. Bible-believing churches do what we do, right? Have you guys ever gone to Brother Veach's church over there? I know they'll get a little bit more crazy in their worship, right? But hey, they preach it right across the plate just like we do here. Right? They got a lot of zeal there, right? They go out on the streets. They don't care if anyone's listening. They could care less. You know why? God said go preach. Right? Hey, look, and I know sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see any of the results that we think we should be seeing. And look, I'm for results. I want to get results. But sometimes I think that clouds our service for God. Because we're not seeing results, well, we're just going to stop doing it. You know, I wrote a brother not too long ago, and, you know, just telling him about what's going on there in Puebla. And this brother writes back. He doesn't go to this church. He knows our church. He knows the work. He supports the brethren here. And he wrote me back, and he, you know, because I was telling him, I said, well, look, you know, we got some guys here, but we're not seeing what we, you know, want to see and this and that. And I just feel sorry for myself. And this brother writes back and he says, John, he says, I've known your coworkers for a long time. And I know your church. And I know the work you guys are doing. It's not about numbers.
That's right.
It's about being faithful to God.
That's right.
You just keep being faithful to God.
Amen.
You just keep doing what God told us to do. You just keep preaching. Man, that was not only a rebuke, but that was like a wake up. I said, you know what? That's right. Why are we in Mexico? Why are you here? Why do you do what you do for the work in Poland, for the work in Mexico, for many other works that you support from time to time? Because of God. Because we want to be faithful to what God has called us to do. And that is go, that is preach to all the world. Every creature. Yeah. They tell him right here, this guy, man, he's a ringleader of that sect. You know? Oh, you guys do it. You know what? It burns me when they do that to us. Whenever they come to a person in our church and they say, oh, you're just here because, you know, of the gringo. You're just here because of the Americans. You're just here, you know, you just come. What are they giving you? You know what? We don't give them a thing. We don't give them anything at all. They go out and do a much better work than we do. When God calls, and these brothers who are working down their own churches in Pachuca, in Guadalajara, in Durango, San Juan del Rio. I think those are the four churches that we have where the Mexican churches have sent out missionaries. But they're doing a good work. And they're doing it with a $5 Bible. $5 Bible, and they know that Bible.
Amen.
And they're going out there, and sometimes they're persuading people, and sometimes they're reasoning with people. Right? Because you get both. Right? I mean, I love it when you just show up, and people are just ready to hear it. Right? Have you ever had one of those people? Man, I don't know what to do. I get like freaked out. I'm thinking, are you serious? You actually want to hear me? You actually want a Bible study? You actually want to get saved? You actually want in on this? Most of the people I have to really try to convince. I have to really try to reason with them, because even though I'm saying it, they don't believe it. And even when I show it to them in the Bible, it's difficult for them to believe it. I remember one time I was preaching with Joey in Irapuato. We're out there preaching, and this lady sat there and listened to the whole thing. Now I go up to her, and she says, what you said about the virgin, about the images, is not true. The second commandment doesn't say that. I said, it doesn't? Nope, it doesn't. And she said, because if it did, my priest would have told me. I said, all right, bring out your Bible. So she brought out her Bible. It's one of those Guadalupanas, right? Big old Bible. She brings it out, and I mean, tell you, big old thing. I'm not kidding you. It's huge. And I open it up to Exodus chapter 20 where I preach, and I said, read this for me. So I'm holding it for her, and she's reading it. And she looks at it, and she closes it. And she says, I don't care if my Bible says that. I don't believe it. Sometimes you can try to reason with somebody, and still no one's home. Right? You can't get to them. Why? Well, man, you need to pray for those people, because it is a spiritual warfare. They you are blinded. I think last time we forget that. But you were living in darkness. Those of us who have come out of darkness and we're now living in the light. Oh, we see things clearly now.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, I do, man. I read this book, I can listen to a message, and I can understand it. You know, it makes sense to me. When I first got saved, not so much. You know, I mean, I knew I was lost, and then I got saved. But when I started coming here, and man, some of these guys read a lot of verses. You know? And you're trying to find the books, you know, they're telling you Genesis, and you're looking back here, and you're thinking, man, where's that Genesis? I don't know where it is. Because you and I, at least me, I wasn't used to all this reading. I wasn't used to all this searching. I wasn't used to all this reasoning from the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who are as ignorant as you and I were before we knew Christ. I want you to look at this. The reason why we're gonna come up with a couple of things in this chapter, and then we'll go eat. Acts chapter 17. I just want you to see a few things. And we could pick up some more verses, and you know, talks about their fame that they had. These guys turned the world upside down according to these people, and all they did was preach Christ. But you know why? They always made Christ the focal point. That was it. The main point, the main issue, the main thing that they wanted to get across was not how big or how incredible they were or where they came from. Look, I love testimonies, you know, and I'm glad if you were a bad person, you know, before and God saved you out of that, praise the Lord. But you know, some people go and they talk about how they used to be a long time ago, and they just talk and talk, almost like glorifying what they used to be, right? And I understand. I'm not trying to be mean here, but tell me what God is for you now. You know, that's what I want to know. What is God doing for you right now? These guys weren't talking about how they were. You never hear Paul saying, "Man, I helped kill Stephen." You know, I was there, and I mean, I had Ganas to pick up a rock and chunk it at him, but I didn't do it. No, man, he talked about how God converted him. He talked about how he heard that voice. He talked about he was blinded. He talked about when he got up, things just were changed. They were more clear to him than ever. When somebody wanted to talk about his religion, he said, "You know what? All that is like dung. All that religion. You want to talk about religion?" Paul said, "Sit down. I'll mention a few things. I know I was better than you." But man, he quickly summed it up in saying, "This is all like dung. It doesn't matter." You know what matters? Christ.
Amen.
That is what matters. You know, a few things that I want to point out, I think is very evident in these, in this chapter about how to keep this thing going, or how to be a person that turns the world upside down. How to be a church. And I think we are. I think this church has turned, the world upside down. I really do. I mean, we're not talking about on CNN or Fox News or anything like that, right? But let me tell you, there's people that know about you and know about this church in Poland and in Mexico. They know who you are. Right? So much so that when we were in Toluca, they kicked two of us out. Just because we published a gospel tract, we lifted up Christ, and they kicked them out. You wouldn't believe how many authorities showed up there in Toluca. That was crazy. Just to pick up Bill. Right? Just to pick up Michael, and they hauled him off. And then all the vehicles and all the agents took off with them, thinking, I know they were thinking this. They were thinking, we take the big gringo, and this church is going to fall apart, right? And while we're at it, we're going to take the little gringo, right? And for sure it's going to fall apart, right? Big gringo, little gringo, right? Had this little Mexican gringo sitting there. They didn't touch me. They said, "Oh, no. We can't hardly see that guy." Hey, man, that church is still going.
Amen.
Has it had its difficulties? Yeah. Do they have problems? Oh, yeah. But they're still witnessing Toluca.
Amen.
It's still going. Right? Brent talking about the church there in Warsaw is no more. Well, you know what? Those churches in Revelations are no more too. Those seven churches are gone. But we're here. We're still here. God's work, if it's of God, who was that? I forget that guy's name there in Acts, that pretty smart fella. He says, you know what, if this If this is of man, it's going to fall apart. If it's of God, then you can't touch it. That's a smart guy. He wasn't a believer, but he was a smart guy, right? He reasoned, he said, if this, almost saying, I don't want to get involved, right? Because I know who God is, right? I might get hurt, but we'll just let it evolve. We'll just let it go to see what happens. Let me tell you something. What we do in Christ's name, that lasts eternal. That's eternal.
Amen.
What do we have to, what are the characteristics that we need as a church, as an individual, to turn the world upside down? The first thing we see here is evident determination. These guys were determined. If you go back to chapter 13, where Paul gets called, right? He gets called out, and you see how many times does he end up in synagogues, right? He goes and he shows up to synagogues, right? Where these people are zealots. I mean, these people are very on fire for their religion. Paul was one of them. He had papers on the road to Damascus, right? Remember that story? He had the authority to kill, if means be, Christians. We don't, if it was me, I don't think I'd show up to those places, right? I think there's other people to preach to, isn't there? Why do I gotta go to where I might have a problem? And not only I might have a problem, but if you read chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, these guys got whipped. They got beat. They got put in jail. Right? You would think after they had that great revival in that jail, and that jailer got saved, you would think, at least me, vacation time. Right? I mean, hey, let's take a vacation. We're on a high. We're way up here. Let's take it easy for a few months. Let's go back home. Let's go talk to the church. Let's have a mission conference back home. Right? No, that wasn't Paul. Paul said, we need to go to Thessalonica. We need to go down there. These people had gumption. These people had, they had valor. They were just people who not only were called by God, they had a conviction that they were doing the right thing, and they just did everything that they could possibly do to fulfill God's will. They were determined. You know, a lot of us and a lot of people in this church, I know, the reason why you're still here, the reason why you still give and you've given all these years, not only to us, but to all these missionaries, is because you're determined. You have determined in your heart that this is the right thing to do. That this is what God wants. We have to remember that. Look what it says here in Acts 17:1. They were persistent. Look what it says here. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Look, he didn't rely on anything else. He took the scriptures, they had the Old Testament, they had some books, they had some chapters, and he reasoned with the people from the book. That's all they had. Nothing showy, nothing spectacular, nothing impressive by our carnal eyes, you know, by that mean. They just preached the word. You know, and I know sometimes, and I know the feeling. Sometimes you come to church and you're thinking, man, I wish there was something more, but, you know, we just have preaching here. Why can't we have something else? You know, that's something that your flesh wants, believe me, right? Because I've been to those churches, you know. I come out wanting to dance. You know, it's fun. It's good. But you know what's even better? the word?
Amen.
It really is. Look, all that feeling can only take you so far. You know what's going to take you through your whole journey? God's word.
Amen.
That's going to save you from a lot of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
That's going to save you from a lot of hardship. That's going to save you from going down the wrong path. That's going to save you from not making your life count for Christ. How many people end up at the end of their life and their life don't count for anything?
Amen.
That's a horrible thing. Look, I've been working. We're trucking 23 years. We're going 23 years. By the grace of God, man, I really do. I really think I've wasted my life. I really have. But I've wasted it in a good thing, right? You're going to waste your life in a good thing or a bad thing.
Amen.
What? How are you going to waste it? Because you're not going to stay young forever, right? You're not going to be this good looking at this age that I'm at right now. Some of you are looking really bad. Our lives are we are getting older, we're getting uglier, we're getting fatter, we're getting slower. How are you going to waste your life? Are you going to waste it on trying to be younger? And there's people like that. It's funny, right? Buying all these certain things to make themselves looking really sharp. All these creams and all these things and all these pills. And I just heard the other day somebody got sick from taking too many vitamins. Is that possible? I was thinking, really? Hey, whatever. You know, you and I'm all for it. If you exercise, vitamins, whatever it is. But people, we need to waste our life on Christ. You need to be all in. You need to be determined in your mind that down this road that God has taken you down, you might have some problems, you might have some trials, you might have some heartaches, and you might just end up more poor than you thought about. But let me tell you, on that journey, there's a whole lot of joys. On that journey, there's a whole lot of things God wants you to see. Another thing I thought of, look what it says in Acts 20:22. Acts 20:22. This is crazy. Another crazy verse. It says, "And now, behold," here's Paul's talking, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide in me." Paul's saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Do you and I have that faith? I don't know what's going to happen. If I determine today that today I'm going to give myself to God and do whatever He wants, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where God's going to call you. You don't know what God's going to tell you to do. But you know what? Can we be like Paul and say, not knowing, I'm going. I'm going bound in the Spirit. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. Can you say that? And if you can say that, we need to think, we need to really think about that so we can say that. Look what it says there in verse 3. Let's go back to Acts 17. Look at Paul. He gets there three Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. And he says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. There it goes again, these bunch of troublemakers, right? All they're doing is preaching Christ, and some people actually believed. Isn't that crazy? I mean, to me, that's just crazy. You would think it should take something more to get somebody to change their mind. But it really doesn't. It's God. It's God's Spirit. You preach it, and God does. It's not going to return to Him void. It's going to accomplish exactly what God wants to accomplish. And let me tell you, change lives. Man, I know I don't have time today, but we can give you stories of guys that their lives have changed. They're making decisions, godly decisions, that their families don't understand. Why are you doing this? Why do you take... We have a taco guy there in Puebla. This guy works, man. He's a worker. He really does. He works long hours. And he has to make deals at his job to try to get off just to make the meeting on Thursday night. And he's not ever on time. But he shows up around 7:30. That's the earliest he can get. Sunday, he's got to wheel and deal and work, you know, sometimes all night on Saturday just to show up on Sunday morning. And sometimes he has to go back to work on Sunday afternoon. And you think, why does he do that? Why doesn't he just rest? Why doesn't he just relax? Why does he just enjoy the fruit of his labor? Well, because he found something better. Something changed his life. Something changed his heart. Something changed the direction of and changed his whole family. His wife and his little girl. You know, there's another thing. When Paul there and he's reasoning with them, and it says there in 17, it says opening and alleging. You know, there's one thing else, not only determination that we gotta have if we want to change the world upside down, but we gotta be right. That's important. You know, look, I'm not right about a lot of things. A whole bunch of things. I'm not. Don't tell my daughter this, but I'm not right about a lot of things. All right? I might think I'm right, but I'm not right. But you know what I'm right about? I'm right about this book. I know some things. And not because I came up with it. Not because these doctrines are something that came out of me, but because God said it. You know, there's a lot of people. I saw a family today coming to church. I was coming down Ingram that way. I was coming down Ingram, and I saw a family of guess who? Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know what they look like, right? They're all pretty, right? They all got their umbrellas. They have their wardrobe, right? And I'm thinking, at 9:30 in the morning, they're out knocking on doors. They're out talking about whatever they talk about, right? But they're not right, people. They are not right. Right? When they come to your door, do you talk to them? I do. I talk to them. Right? Because I'm right. I know what this book says. Right? Paul, he went to the synagogue. He talked. Why? Because he was right. What he had was correct. What we have in our hands, what we listen to every Sunday, every time we meet, is right. Why? Because God said it. This is nothing to be ashamed about. I'm glad I am blessed to be part of a church that stands on truth. Right? I'm blessed to be in a place where they preach the Word of God, not always nicely. And by that I mean, not that they're mean, spirited, but some of the topics that they bring out, I don't like. And the reason why I don't like it is because they're hitting me. Right? Why don't we talk about someone else's sins? And not so much mine. Amen. Right? But you know, thank God for a place like that. Thank God for a preacher who stands up and says what he knows is true. What he knows is right. And that's what we see in these guys. Another thing we can look at in verse 4. He says, and some of them believed. And some of them believed. You know why they turned the world upside down? Because they won people. Some, not all. Everyone that heard there, not all of them believed. You know what? Every born again believer, everybody who's a Christian in this church, you are a soul winner. You are a soul winner by birth. If God saved you, you are a soul winner. Now, whether you do it or not, that's all up to you. But every one of us should be talking to somebody. Every one of us should be giving out the gospel. Every one of us should know this book. You know, when I first got saved, I had a lot of questions. And I used to talk to my friends at work, and they used to mix me all up. Right? I mean, when I left here, I knew I was right. And when I got to work, I was wrong. I was thinking, man, what happened? You know? Well, you know what I would do? I'd call up Brother Brian. I'd say, Brother Brian, man, they got me on this one. Oh, don't worry about it. Here. And he'd give me some verses. Wow. Man, I'm right. And I'd go back and do it again and come back. I'm wrong. I mean, how many times went back and forth? You know what? There's some difficult questions and there's some difficult things. And you know what? There's some things that we probably will never know. But you know what? Most of the stuff, God lets us know. The important things, we know these doctrines. We should study. The Bible says that the Word of God is inspired. Didn't it say that? It says it's good for reproof, right? It's good for a correction. Man, it's good for doctrine. This is what it says there in 2 Timothy 3:16. This is what the Bible's good for. Oh man, we are right, and we should take this gospel, and people are going to get saved if only we believe it. In Psalms 126:5-6, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him." Do you believe that verse? You know, I love to hear the old stories. I love to hear, you know, the story about when these brothers went to Leon. If you guys haven't heard, you know, heard that story, maybe our pastors will share it one day again. When they first went down there, they got into trouble. It was hard, right? They weren't seeing anything. They call up the elders and they have a prayer meeting. And God breaks in. God changes some things. Did they still have trouble? Yeah. Yeah. I think some of these guys say that they went. Every time they went downtown, their knees were shaking. That never goes away. Even now. I can always just say, I get scared every time I go downtown. Especially when I see policemen. You know? And it's funny because I'm not doing anything wrong, but I just get scared. Let me tell you something. Troubles and trials, they're going to come our way. Right? These guys were winning souls. These guys were winning souls in the Bible in the midst of all that trouble. God has promised us. If we go out, he says in John 15 that we are going to bear fruit. Right? That's why he saved us. We are going to bear it. But we have to understand that this comes from God. It's not in your power. We need to trust in God's power, not our own power. Another thing in verse 5, 17 in verse 5, look what it says here. "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar." You know, in this work, and if we're going to turn this world upside down and continue to do that, we're going to have trials. We're going to have problems. You know, wouldn't it have been easier if God would have just blessed and not have any problems at all? Just the whole city, you know, converted to Christ and they just had a good time. It doesn't work that way. I don't understand why. I would like it to work that way. I would like to show up to a city and just preach one time and have an instant church. That'd be so nice. You know, but it doesn't work that way. Lots of times we go to a new city and we're preaching and we see nothing. And we have trials and we have problems. But you know what? We still keep plucking away. We still keep doing what we're called to do. And God is the one giving the increase. We water, we plant, God gives the increase. Another thing here that I think is very important, the last thing, in verse in verse 16. It says, let's go back up to, let's go back up to 13. It says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You know, I think that was a sad thing for Paul, probably a hard thing. The brethren there counseled him, you need to get out of here. They're going to kill you. They're going to end your life. And so he conceded. He said, okay, I'm going to make like I'm going to the sea, but we're going to give him a curveball and we're going to go the other way. Right? He was a smart guy. Smart company. But then he had to leave these two guys behind. Why? Because there were brothers there. There was a new church there. There were some believers there. And they needed to get grounded. They needed the word of God. They needed to be comforted from this word. And he waited. And while he was waiting, and not having a pity party, but while he was waiting, he looked around, not at himself, he looked around, and he was stirred in his spirit because his city was given to idolatry. You know what should stir us up? And what's going to keep us, I think, with this mentality of turning the world upside down? Trying to live and trying to do the work so a God can be glorified. It should bother us that our lives don't give more glory to God. It should bother us, brethren, that our church doesn't give more glory to God. It should bother us that we don't give our 100% to God all the time. It should bother us that there's a lot of people in San Antonio dying and go to hell and not giving glory to God. There's a lot of people out of the will of God not giving glory to God. This should stir us up. We want to keep the world, or we want to keep turning the world upside down. We want to mess with the system. We need to put these principles in practice. We need to make our lives count. And I'm not saying you haven't thus far. All I'm saying is we have to continue to understand that this is our purpose, making our life count. Amen?